Alexa, what is the baddest podcast in the land?
Here's Pulling Back the Curtain podcast registered from Amazon Music. Playing the latest episode.
On today's show, we pull back the curtain on the true meaning of Christmas and much, much more. DJ, what's the word, my guy?
It's been a little rough end of the year for you, boy. At the end of the day, I'm still here, so I can't complain too much, but I'm all right, honestly.
Man, my thoughts are with you, and yeah, man, I hope you make it through that. This is like one of those times, like, you know, we got Christmas on deck, and to the point that you brought up, DJ, like a lot of us are really just trying to, like, ending the year on the right note, because I'll tell you, me personally, while professionally this year has been dope, man, personally, it's been a lot of challenges, man. So, like, I'm right there with you.
Yep. Honestly, that's a perfect way to describe it. Like, on the professional side, this year has been great. It's the last couple of months, personally, as we've talked about, it's been a little rough for you, boy. But if we're going on the professional side, this has basically been a year to remember for me. So, but like you said, end the year on the right note is the main thing.
Yeah, you've been cooking, DJ. I can't wait to see what 2025 has in store with just some of the stuff that you're going to be doing, you know, individually, and then obviously the work that we're going to continue to do together, man. So, like I said, man, you've been crushing it, bro.
Appreciate it. And I'm real excited. I can't lie. You're right, though. Sometimes I realize, like, in being in the now, I'd be forgetting, like, some things I've already planned and, like, stuff to do. So, like, yeah, I'm actually, like, really excited for next year. I can't lie.
Man, I'm also excited, man, because my Notre Dame Fighting Irish, man, they got the job done, man. Took down the Hoosiers, man. The CFP.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. And you know what, man? I've been getting a lot of crap, like, all week from people. They've been like, man, is Notre Dame and they're going to lose another big game? Yeah. The text messages are real fucking quiet this morning, people.
Hey, I can't lie. I thought I was picking the Hoosiers for the upset. I did. And that did not end well. I'll be honest. I'll admit my own fault. I was like, this is my upset of the week. I was like, well, there goes that. I was like,
mm-hmm. But at least it wasn't coming from a place of hate, man. It was people that I know, they were just betting on Indiana just because they didn't want Notre Dame to win. Just because they wanted me to just be walking around like salty again.
Nah, it was a 7-10. Whenever I go for upsets filling out brackets, I always go for the 10 on the 7. It's just, that's like the easiest upset to always like, okay, I feel like this might happen.
Well, not this time, man. Marcus Freeman and the boys, they was ready, man. That defense was on fire. And, man, Notre Dame came out the gates, man. First play of the game, bruh. I mean, audience, y'all lucky that my voice is back, man, because, man, I lost my shit. For a 98-yard run, I was like.
But I was wicked.
Bro, I'm like, he's still running right now. I'm telling you, he's still running.
He took off, and I was like, oh, this is not how. Like, I remember seeing that, and I was like, well, my pick is not. This is not ending well for me. Like, in that moment, I was like,
for you, DJ.
I knew. Because, like, that's momentum. You just don't get back.
No, man. And it's the thing. You had a stadium with them out there getting all riled up about that national anthem. Now, I was like, honestly, I looked around. I was like, yeah, y'all. All right, y'all can have that part. But when the game started, I'm lit.
Y'all can have that part.
Yeah, y'all can have that part. I ain't over here. I don't have any goosebumps going. It's just cold as fuck to me. That's all I felt out.
Well, I play basketball. I can't do that outside cold. I can't. I don't care if I'm from Massachusetts. Being outside, like, long-term playing? No. I'm a basketball guy for a reason. At least be inside.
But that was true football weather, man. And you know what's really cool about that? Was seeing the Notre Dame wide receivers, they warmed up with no shirts on. And I'm like, they sent the message to Indiana right there. Even though Indiana, I mean, they're supposed to be built like that too. But, man, I thought that Notre Dame, they kind of passed the toughness test. Because I was sitting up there, I snuck in some booze in my coat, and I was out there, like, you know, taking my little sips, trying to stay warm out there, man. But I'll tell you one thing, bro. My Lord, man, that was such a good time. Such a good time.
Now, I don't know
what's going to happen round two, DJ, but all I'm worried about is right now, hey, they got the job done.
Right. I tell you, that toughness test thing, I respect them, because I know if that was me out there, I'd have been bundled up and been like, you all can talk smack about me. It's too cold. I don't care.
Well, it's tricks, man. So when I play football, man, people don't know, man. You just put layers on the skin, whether it's Vaseline, and I'm not talking about no weird Diddy shit, y'all. I'm giving you guys some real game. You put a layer, though, man, and like I said, you could be out there, and you look all tough and like a badass, but really, you know. You got like a layer on your skin, so you're good. So it's tricks
I
of the
didn't know
trade.
that. I
Oh
didn't
yeah.
know. That makes sense. That makes so much more sense. Cause I'd be thinking, like, shouldn't everybody be catching a cold out here? Like, that's all I could think. My inner grandmother comes out and I'm like, where's y'all coat? Like, y'all gonna catch a
Oh, now he did
cold?
you did not say your inner grandma, because your grandma did be on that. Where's
Yep.
your coat?
To this day, where's your coat? I was like, I went from the car into your house. I didn't I It's 40 degrees, like, which is, I know, like, that's some people are 30. Like, I know some people, that's cold. To me, if unless I'm staying outside, I can rock a sweater and like be good walking in the door. I walk my grandma, said, where your coat? At the house. Why? Because we were coming from here to from the warm car to warm house, back to warm car, back to my warm house. I think I'm good. Like, hear me out. I will be okay. But she do about me about she be about that coat, I tell you. Woo.
Hey man, that's that knowledge, man. And hey, I'm sure you're gonna be appreciating that for here on out, man. Because I miss my grandma. Because like those moments like that, man, I remember that, and I kind of smiling like listening to you talk about that. Because man, that was just they're just a different breed, man.
You ain't kidding. You are not kidding.
But man, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the show, man, I wanted to send some thoughts to our brother Randy Moss, man, the freak himself, man. He announced last week that he underwent surgery for a rare form of cancer, DJ. I know you, being a Massachusetts resident out here in these streets, that I'm sure you probably had a couple words yourself for our brother Randy.
Oh yeah. I mean, for me, like, I'm 20. So in the reality of like the timelines matching up, when I was coming up watching football, it was like right when he came to New England. So for me, actually, like, my brother, his favorite football guy was Randy Moss. Like, he was a Randy Moss guy. So, like, honestly, that hit close to home when I found that out. I mean, I was sitting there just scrolling through Instagram and it popped up, and the first thing I sent to my brother, and me and both called each other and was like, bro, like, not like this. And it was the same reaction we had similarly to Nate Robinson, where it was like, please no. It's weird with certain football athletes for me that I grew up watching, like, they don't know me from a hole in the wall, but they feel like family. And like, Randy Moss is like one of those people for me. So like, I was really crushed when I heard that news. I can't lie to you.
Man, I just hope he's good, man. I didn't like when he was on the ESPN show that he does, and he had the episode where his eyes were really yellow. And in that moment, I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, man, something's not going right with Randy. And he addressed it that he needed prayers, and that he's gonna take the time off. I didn't like how Larry Fitzgerald's pops actually announced that Randy had cancer before Randy and his family had an opportunity to speak on that. I always think that people in media, like certain things, we shouldn't be in a rush to be first to report on. And sometimes you don't have the right to report on some things just because you were given information. I thought that was bad on his pops, DJ, because with you and I being in this space, and I trust me, I get a lot of insight into some things about people's personals. I never bring that stuff up because I find it in poor taste.
Yeah, it just don't feel right. Like, there's certain things, like, that's their story to tell, not yours. Like you said, personal stuff. Now, someone's out with injury or something. Like, now that's a little different, but like, something like that, yeah, he had no right. And that was very much in poor taste, in my opinion, as well. Like, yeah, I mean, but for me, I only found out through Randy. So I'm kind of like glad I didn't like find that out from like just somewhere like random. Like, that'd have made it worse. I can't lie from my experience personally. But like, he had no right to do that.
Yeah, no, that's how I found out about it. Because he sent out, because we follow each other on Twitter, and I got the notification from him, and I shot him a DM, and I'm like, is this legit? And he's like, oh, I'm in Vegas at this event, and I just found out, and then I didn't respond back, but in my mind, I'm like, man, I need to holler at him next time, because I see him all the time at events. Anytime I cover something up in Minneapolis, I run into him. He's a Minneapolis media member, so I'm like, man, I'm gonna holler at him, just in one-on-one about that, because I'm like, dude, you're an OG, but I expect different of us, man. We, especially when it's one of our own, and audience, you know what I mean by that. And if you don't know what I mean by that, then that's your bad. But we gotta do better, right? We gotta do
Yeah,
better by
no,
each other.
definitely. Yeah, definitely gotta do better on that. 'Cause yeah, that doesn't sit right with me, like sharing someone else's business. 'Cause that's really what it is at the end of the day. Like, and I know, like you said, like in technically, in a way, that's like partly our job for certain things, but I feel like that's like in a different area of like, I feel like you shouldn't be allowed to be telling other people's business like that. Like that feels like as we were talking about grandmas, when they be like, don't be nosy in other people's business. Like that feels like one of those. I can't lie. It feels like that's in that area. Like, why are you in someone else's business talking about them? Like, that's what it feels like with something like that.
No, I definitely agree with you. And it's funny that you talked about your brother with Randy Moss, because I think of Randy Moss, he's only like 3 years, different from me in age. So I actually came up like with him when he was at Marshall, right? Because Randy Moss was a Notre Dame commit and also a Florida State commit at one time. So it was literally almost a chance that I would have got to see Randy Moss in South Bend. But anyway, it wasn't meant to be. However, when I think of Randy Moss, man, I think about those Minnesota Vikings teams, man, when he just was out there just crushing it. I know he had his moment in Foxborough with Tom Brady, but when I think of Randy Moss, I think of Randy in Minnesota with that giant ass afro coming out of his helmet and mooning the fuck out of that crowd in Lambeau.
That is such a wild moment. I be forgetting about that sometimes, honestly. That was such a wild, because like my go-to is when he mossed Revis with the one hand. I
That was
remember that.
nasty
That's like
too.
that's a go-to in my brain. Like, cause especially that was like Revis Island, because that's when Revis was on one too. But I do remember those Vikings days too, like watching highlights back. Cause I'm also like I love Randall Cunningham, so like I remember when he was there,
Ooh, yes,
swinging the ball to
sir.
him. That duo was something crazy too.
Because Randall used to spin that bitch, bro.
Yeah, he used to like air that thing out, like. So
See,
yeah, I remember
rumors
those.
though. Randall Cunningham had a gun on him, boy.
Hey, they. And he used to, that's the crazy part too, like looking back on the career of like Cunningham, because like it's wild how they did him in Philly back then, and now it's like every quarterback is basically like a cutout prototype of what he does in a way.
That's right. That's right.
That's so wild to me. And then the thing, he's not in the Hall of Fame, but that's a whole conversation for another day, in my
Well, see, the
opinion.
problem with that is that some players they come before their time, and I look at a guy like Randall Cunningham in this
Definitely.
NFL.
Oh my
Sheesh!
gosh. Woo!
Could you imagine?
Like they think Lamar's ridiculous. Oh my goodness. That is, yeah, he'd have been something different in this time.
Like literally, no, there would have been no question. Like you and I would be sitting over here having that conversation. You'd be like, "Man, you see what Randall Cunningham
No,
did?"
literally. Because I mean, there's still highlights of him like that. Cause I think of that
Yes.
one versus the Giants when they like the dude hit him in his legs and he just still stood up and just threw a touchdown. I'm like, yeah, that today would go bananas.
Nah, he was sick. He was sick. But man, I want to just take a moment before we get into the Christmas goodness of this episode by just having a quick conversation with the men that watch and listen to this show. Fellas, please, if you're hearing anything about this Randy Moss story, go get your physicals, go get your checkups, go get your screenings. Make sure your mental health is in order, right? We got to take care of ourselves because a lot of times we think we're invincible and we think that, oh, that won't happen to me. I'm still young. Randy Moss is 47 years old. And my thing is, they may have gotten to this thing early enough that it'll save his life. And I think a lot of times people, you can stay ahead of these things by regularly going to the doctor. So that's it. I'm not preaching to y'all, but I'm just telling you. I care about you. I just want to make sure that we take care of ourselves, because men, we seem to not do that for ourselves. And then that's when things creep up on us, and then shit goes left.
I mean, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Make sure you take care of yourselves. Like, that's one of the things my dad preached to me, and we talked about what's happened with him and diabetes. So I think he's part of, like, he's a testament to that of take care of yourselves, please.
Okay. Yeah, please. Salute to your pops, man. But, hey man, let's get into it, man. What's your Christmas plans? What you got going on over there in the estate? What's happening over there at the manor?
Well, actually, funny enough, I will give this like quick little like kind of like tidbit before I get into it. Christmas for us is not as big as Thanksgiving, which only because like my mom is being a flight attendant, they usually like end up having to fly on one of the holidays. And so as kids, it was like, which one would you rather be home for, Thanksgiving or Christmas? And so it was always like, well, she's one of those people that are in the kitchen throwing down on Thanksgiving. So it was like, you be home for Thanksgiving. We're gonna like all sit around the table, have a great time Thanksgiving. And so Christmas is like Not that it's not as important. Like we also get together and like exchange gifts, but like it doesn't have the like. I know for other families, it's like Christmas is like, you know, the thing, and for us, it's more like it's almost like number two of the holiday season in a weird way. So I know like a lot of times if she's flying on like a Christmas Eve or something, we'll give the presents and do stuff depending on the day when everybody's free. So most of my Christmases are really just sitting at home with pops and just watching football and well, watching football this year. Used to be watching basketball all day. I know football done took over now recently, given it's middle of Wednesday. But like it usually just watching whatever's on and just chilling at home for the most part for Christmas. So like now it's kind of like the bare bones of it. It's just kind of like, all right, we're all just gonna go to grandma's. Everybody's gonna, you know, hang out, exchange the gifts, and then everybody gonna go home. Like, so it's never had like a kind of like I said, for some families, it's like, oh, Christmas. Like us, it's like, all right, we just gonna get together, exchange our gifts. Like, and for the most part, like, you know, as a kid, like the gifts, like what to get me was like really big. Now, you know, at this point, it's just like, whatever y'all wanna get, I don't care. Like, you know, like, so that's why I said, like, Thanksgiving has always been like the bigger holiday for me. So it's like, what Christmas plans? I'm like, honestly, like, we have a little like get together, schedule to exchange gifts, and then pretty much I'll be at home watching basketball and football the rest of the day.
We're actually heading to Orlando actually in the morning. We're going to do a 7-day cruise, so we'll be hitting up on the Bahamas, Turks, and then on the Dominican Republic. So
Oh, snap.
yeah, man. So it's time for me to unplug, man. Like I told you, 2024. Hey, I've been grinding, been working my ass off, but I also need some time to just kind of reflect and really just kind of like go into 2025, man, with just like the right mindset and really just kind of like taking some time to breathe, man. Because I just feel like, man, for me on a 24, you know how kids can say, well, yeah, we got the same 24. That's how I be feeling about cats out here. Like I'm like I feel like I get the most out of my 24 hours, but. I'm looking for some downtime, and I'm looking forward to doing that. And I'm also looking forward to doing that with some family members. So like that's gonna be really dope, and I'm looking forward to it.
That's what's up. I'm happy for you for that.
Yes,
Cause I
sir.
know you be on the grind, so I'd be concerned how much you be on the road. I ain't gonna lie to you. I feel like
Man,
every time we talk, you either came back from somewhere or you going somewhere. So I feel like it's a well-deserved vacation, if I do say so myself for you. So
No, I appreciate that, man. And just another thing too, man. Like I was thinking about what you were saying with your situation for what you guys do. Even if you guys don't make a whole grand deal about Christmas, the fact of the matter is you guys are all getting together. You're gonna have that time with grandma. And those are those memories, man, that those things matter, bro. And for me right now, I realize, man, that I got more days behind me than I have in front of me. So, man, I'm after any memory I could get, man. So that's why, like, when this cruise idea came up, I told moms, I'm like, no, we doing it. Let's go. I don't care what I got going on. I'm gonna make it work. And I did.
Right.
Because I got a bowl game that I gotta cover. The Illini I played in the Citrus Bowl. I was like, all right, I can fit this cruise in to what I need to do. And then 2 days later, I'll be covering the bowl game. So you know me, I always work, but at least that 7-day window, man, I ain't doing shit.
Hey, that's real. That's real. I am
I
excited
haven't.
for these bowl games, though.
Me
Since you bring
too.
that up, I'm
Me
actually
too.
excited for the bowl games because I got to cover one too. But yeah, he said, nah, that's dope though. Because I know, like, my family. See, that's the thing too. Because I don't think about it. Like, to me, I'm like, oh, it's real subtle. But I'm like, see, because we're such a tight family unit that it's like we are always together at like some point. Like everybody's birthday, we're always meeting up. So that's why it feels kind of like, oh yeah, besides giving gifts, it feels like almost like any other like birthday or like get together. That's why I'm like, for me, like Thanksgiving's like the big one. That's like we're all preparing for it, like cooking food. Like Christmas, we'll just find something to eat and just order out or whatever. Like it's so much more simpler that way on Christmas. But like it's still, like you said, like that is a fair point that I don't think about and lose like sight of sometimes, like how great it is to still like everybody be together and have a good time.
No, and that's it, because like we got some mailbag questions in the audience. It's been a little while since we went into the mailbag. We didn't forget about you guys. You know, we answer you guys a lot of times offline, but we got some lucky ones that got in for the show. So, hey, DJ, the first one's from Billy. He wanted to know, what does Christmas mean to you guys? Now, we kind of went high level with Christmas and kind of what we have going on. So, I guess for this one, DJ, I guess we'll just get a little bit more into the weeds on it.
Honestly, to me, it's Jesus' birthday. Like, I as a Christian, it's like, what is Christmas? It's just Jesus. It's Jesus' birthday. Also, if on a more funnier note, when I think of Christmas, I think of it as a kid doing them little Christmas poems at my nana's church. So that's a little traumatic. Think about having to recite those poems by memory. But all jokes aside, like, it's Jesus' birthday. It's a holiday where we, you know, giving gifts and remembering the good times of the year and just with my family. Like, I kind of already kind of touched on it, like you said, but like, yeah, in a sense, like on a deeper thought, it's Jesus's birthday. As a Christian, like, that's like the main thing. Like, I was never one who believed in Santa, hilariously enough, because we didn't have a chimney. So, me at the ripe age of three, for some reason, was like, how's he getting in? Like, is he breaking through the door? Because, like, that's breaking and entering, like that. But so, I never was one to believe in Santa. So, it's like, it's Jesus's birthday. We give some gifts, we have some good times together. And, like I said, watch us some basketball and some football. Like that's what Christmas means to me.
You wild, because I think that's kind of how I realized that there was no Santa. It's from that same situation because we didn't have a chimney, and I used to rack my brain about how the hell he get there.
No, literally. I remember saying to my mom, like, is grandma giving him a key? I never forget saying that. Like, but to this day, my family laughs about it. Like, yeah, you really was like, is who's giving him keys? Like, how's he getting in here? Like, I was really trying to figure it out. And like, I was one of those little nosy kids that like that was like always trying to like know everything. So I was really like, I was questioning so hard, they were just like, all right, he ain't real. I'm not doing this with you. Like they're like,
Yeah, we like we ain't got time for this shit.
like honestly, they wasn't that invested in it anyway. They was like, yeah, whatever. Like, if you believe, cool. They're like, clearly you didn't, whatever. Oh well. Just don't tell anybody else. That was the main thing. Just don't tell any other kids. Just be quiet. Let them believe till they don't. I said, okay, that's the deal.
My mom sometimes she listens to the show, so she hears this and she gonna fucking freak out on me, but it's all good. I also found out there was no Santa Claus because one time I got up in the middle of the night and I was being nosy. And I peeked in that front room. I saw her putting gifts under the tree and shit. So I was like, I knew it.
No,
I knew it.
no, not mom's getting caught. Oh.
Oh, yeah. I caught her as red-handed. I was
I'm
like,
crying.
I was like, I knew it. And I'm over here like the cat burglar and shit trying to fucking tiptoe back in the room. She probably heard my ass too.
You know what? Honestly, she probably did. It was just like, well,
Yeah.
like,
The
what do
gig
you
is
do?
up.
Right. Like, what do you do? You're caught now.
But see, that's part of like what Christmas means to me is just the fact that you got all these parents out here that are sacrificing for their kids to make sure, hey, whatever the kid's putting on that list, that the kid is getting an item. But then also, man, all the what the parents do that whole night before and because I remember we was coming up, man. My mom, see, this is old school shit I'm about to tell you about DJ. She used to go put our Christmas stuff on layaway. So they don't do layaway no more.
I know a little bit about layaway though. I know a little bit
Okay,
from my
look at
mom.
you. Okay.
She's hit me, but yeah, that's way past my time. Not to do that to you, but that's
It's all
yeah.
good because that's why I listen. I'm here to teach. So now, so you know a little bit. So audience, if you guys ain't hip to layaway, man, you can go ahead and buy all this stuff, put a deposit down. Now they hold it for you, and you make payments on these items until you can pay them in full, but then they let you take it. So honestly, that's how a lot of our shopping was. So honestly, when I from like childhood and see when I went away to college, that's how I was used to things being bought, was just on layaway. It was very rare, DJ, that we would go to the store and buy something to take it out of there that same day. And see, that to me is a privilege that I have today that, bruh, when I go in the store, I'm going home with whatever I buy. And see, it wasn't like that for me as a kid. But you know what? I didn't know any different. Because at the end of the day, I had what I needed, right? And I always tell people that for me, it's less about material things. And really, it's just more about the people. So, like what DJ said earlier, when it comes to Christmas, for me, it's that togetherness, man. I don't really have that connected family like I used to. We've had a lot of issues in our family where this family member isn't talking to this family member. And I get pulled into things just because I stand on business. I'm a loyal person. So generally, if you're on bullshit, I'm going to probably be the person to tell you so. And a lot of people don't want to hear the truth, right? And that's fine. We can talk about that another day. But for me, having that connected family is something that I had as a kid. We don't have it as much right now. So that's why I'm really so happy about what I do have, because what I do have is with people that are 10 toes down that I know without a shadow of a doubt, they would do anything for me. I'll do the same for them, right? And then for me, Christmas honestly is just a time of comfort. So it's less about, the toys, when I was like, well, it probably was about the toys when I was a kid. But like for me now, yeah, I ain't gonna even hold you. But for me now, though, bruh, I tell people, don't be buying me nothing. Well, I don't need nothing. Like for me, this time is like a time for me to just like I like to bring joy to other people, man. And for me, it's like time for me to have comfort, time for me to just chill, time for me to reflect and just like see the world like as it should be, right? When I go and I drive around and I see the Christmas decorations of my subdivision over here, or when I see the town, how they have like everything lit up with the lights and everything like that, bro. That shit right there, I love that because that reminds me of a kid when I used to like put the lights up with my mom's, when I used to help put up the Christmas tree and all that kind of stuff. So for me, that's what Christmas means, man. It just brings back those type of memories, even though I didn't put up a tree this year, but you know, whatever.
Man, honestly, I secretly can't stand the tree only because it has now turned into a task for me. Because as a kid, like we had this little small tree at my house, and you know, my older cousin, she's like my older sister, that's how close we are. Like she took it when she became a school teacher and like used it in her classroom. So we haven't put up a tree since I was like 10. But my grandmother in her house bought this like 9-foot tree. And so now it's like putting that up. It's just a task because it's so big. And also, I love my grandmother dearly. Don't get it twisted, but she be one of those like sideline coaches where she be like
Ha!
complaining. Like I'm on the ladder up top with the star, and she's like, "No, to the left." And I'm just like, "This is not fun no more." Like people be like, "I love put up a tree." I'm like, "I can't stand it." Like love my grandmother dearly when it's done, but it's like a thing where it's like, "Oh, we gotta put up this tree." Like here we go. Like, and I always laugh about that to people. Like when I hear people talk about like Christmas tree, they're like, "Oh, I love it," and I'm like, secretly, it's just like work to me because it's just so big. I think that's the issue. It wasn't so big and took the four pieces to connect together. And like, love my brother dearly, but you know, recently, like he's been with his little girlfriend, so of course he was
Uh-oh.
out that day. So it was
Uh-oh.
just me because usually at least I got him too to put the tree. I was like, God, man, you're gonna leave me by myself with this big tree trying to put it all like. Because I'm the one who can lift the thing and get up there. Because like I'm not gonna make my mom lift it. So it's like I'm sitting there with the box and she's like, all right, put the things up, and I'm just like, I can't stand this. And like we're all sitting there giggling because we're all like equally like, why are we doing this? But at the same time, like knowing that's like, you know what, like we're gonna do it and I know she's gonna appreciate it. But at the same time, it's just like, this, I mean, how many times I say to myself, like in my head, like, this damn tree. Like, I can't lie to you. I can't stand it. But like for other people with them little small little 5-foot trees, like that looks nice and fun. But that 9-foot tree, I tell you, boy. Oh.
And meanwhile, your brother out here in these streets caking. I see you out there, fam. I see you.
Oh
You knew your boy Prez is gonna get you, man. But shout out to you,
yeah,
man. Shout out to you.
nah.
Now, I can't hold y'all about the Christmas tree. I did think about it. A friend of mine, she heard that I wasn't putting the tree up, so she sent me like one of them little small tabletop Christmas trees. So I did put that in my walkway.
Yeah,
So
like that's
that was
nice.
nice. Yeah. And I
Yeah.
told her, I was like, that was fine. Because I was like, I wasn't gonna put shit up. Because I'm like, first of all, I'm not rearranging my front room to make room for a damn tree, and I'm not even gonna be here. Listen, I've been home for like 3 days all month. Then who the hell that tree for?
The ghost? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, hey, DJ, do not say that shit because I will be fucking, I will not sleep tonight, sir.
My bad, my bad, my bad.
Because I believe in that shit. Because I'll be in this bitch burning sage. You keep playing. Keep playing, DJ.
I didn't realize I hit a nerve there. That's shocking. I was not prepared for that joke to go over like it did. But yeah, you're like, who's that tree? No, good point though. If you're not home, like who the tree for real?
That's what I'm trying to find out. Because I'm like, what we doing? Like, for real. Like, literally. Like, it's going to just be up and then it's going to be more. Like, so how you said about a task. All that is another. I don't need another task in my day. I don't. So let that be one less thing I have to do. Because guess what? I didn't buy not one single gift. So there's no need for a tree. Nothing.
I'm still at the age I don't have to buy gifts, which I'm kind of glad about. Like every once in a while I'll do something nice, but like I'm not hold to a standard of giving gifts still because I'm in college, which I'm still grateful for, and I'm gonna use these years while I can, because that feels like another task in itself, trying to think of what to buy everybody. I can't lie, like watching the rest of
No.
my family do it, I'd be like, ooh, that looks a little stressful. I'm so glad y'all don't hold me to this standard yet.
Well, see, that's one of those things, right? Because I was thinking about that, right? So I was like, this year, I'm like, the people around me, I'm like, you guys know what I'm doing for you, so that don't even need to be talked about on this show. But I'm like, as far as like a physical gift, I was like, who are we kidding? I'm straight. We good around here. We good. I'm like, shit, y'all got everything you needed there, so. And that's the thing. For me, like I said, it's less about the gifts now. But you could have told me shit when I was a kid. Couldn't have told me. Our last mailbag question, because we ain't gonna go into a bunch of these with y'all, but this one comes over from Felix. And Felix says, Why don't more black families celebrate Kwanzaa? And he said, if you guys do, why? And if you don't, why not?
Well, actually, for me, it is like a very interesting answer because, like, in my hometown, there was this like group in a place they just call it the village. I don't know, like, I don't even know where it's at no more. Like, as a kid, I just remember going there and they used to have a Kwanzaa celebration yearly for like all the black folk in the city, and we'd always be there. And I remember because, like, my mom went one year, most years, my uncle took us with like my cousins, and we'd always go and celebrate Kwanzaa that way. And it was like a thing we did for a lot of years as kids. And then, like, I don't know, just like one year, it just kind of stopped. Like, I don't know if it's still going or not. Like, once COVID happened and as I got older, it's just like, I just know I stopped going. So I don't even know if it's still ongoing. But for a couple of years there, like, I was actually celebrating Kwanzaa and was like, knowing about like the holiday and everything. But like, I don't know. It's really like the why don't I? Like, I don't know why it really stopped or like, I don't know. It just was like a thing we did and then just kind of stopped doing out of nowhere. So like for me, it's just like a why, like as much as I think about it, like, yeah, like why doesn't more people celebrate it? Like to me, I just know like with the whole being a Christian, like bringing up Christmas and Jesus, like after that, doing all preparing for all that, like it's just like, all right, preparing for the new year almost. And I kind of just like it skips my mind. But that's a really good question because like I don't like I know from my personal experience, like I did it for a couple of years, but I didn't really like get why I stopped or like why I was kind of doing it in the first place, besides like they just took us.
So this is my answer to this. And this is a really good question, Felix, because it made me kind of think about like Kwanzaa and kind of like pretty much the fact of what it stands for and why it even came to be. And a lot of people that don't probably know, Kwanzaa was something that became a concept during the Black Power movement. And that was during the time where our people were the most connected with each other. We were the most connected with our heritage and our history. And I really love the fact that your pops and your moms made sure that you guys had that exposure to that because I didn't have much exposure to that as a kid. It wasn't until like I was in high school and college where I started doing some of those things that you guys were doing. And I think that nowadays there's probably more people that celebrate it because you have now the millennials. I think they have more access to Black history and heritage. And I don't think that that was a thing when I was coming up, at least, because there was a lot about Black history that was not being taught in the schools that when I was going to school, and a lot of that stuff you had to kind of seek out on your own. But nowadays, well, for another couple of months, you'll have access to these type of things in school that you'll be able to, to know about these things. So for me, I don't celebrate Kwanzaa, but I'm very familiar with it. I'm definitely connected to the purpose of it. And really, honestly, DJ, I don't even know why I don't. But on the surface, I love the fact that it's something that is ours. And I think that a lot of what we talk about a lot of times on this show is us creating our own tables and not just being satisfied with having a seat at someone else's. And so I don't know. Maybe I need to look into that for next year and maybe see if it's a way that I can incorporate it.
Right, because like you said, like, I don't have a like a valid like this is why I don't do it. I just like it just kind of just skips by in a way. Like for I told you, like for me and my family, it's like Thanksgiving, then it's like okay, couple weeks, whatever, just low key. Christmas kind of happened, we exchange the gifts, and then it's like preparing for the new year. And like also too, I know for me too, like as I got into middle school and high school, like this is basketball season too for high school. So that's the other thing of like most times around this time for like most of my childhood, like once I got middle school was wrapped up in basketball season. So I just it kind of just like skipped over my head in a weird way that I don't even like in a weird way, I don't think about like celebrating like the holiday itself. But like you said, like being tapped into like all that other stuff in our history, like that's you can do that whenever. So like, but like the holiday itself, I don't think about it like as regularly as I do. That's why like when this question popped up, I was like, that's actually good. Like
That was
I
really
didn't
good.
like oh I didn't yeah like oh I don't know why I don't like celebrate. I don't have like a real reason. I just have it.
I guess this one is really like it's really resonated with me because I really am like I'm thinking about it, DJ, and I'm like, damn, I really didn't have a good reason why I don't, right? It's just that I
Literally.
don't. And I guess that's a, I'm not gonna say I guess, that's a problem. Because that just shows that, like, man, I'm maybe not as connected as I thought I was. So it really, Felix, man, you really kind of made me sit back and like kind of re-examine some things. I'm like, shit, all right, bet. But now Felix says you asking questions. Do you celebrate Kwanzaa, sir? You know what I mean? And for people that do celebrate, hit us up and let us know, some of the things that you're doing and how you incorporated and how you came to incorporate that. Because I really love to look into doing something like that. Because I know it's like 7 days of Kwanzaa, and I think that it could be something that'd be really worthwhile, man, because it has a really deep meaning to it. And maybe we'll do a future episode on Kwanzaa and just kind of like the different, the days and the different purposes and stuff like that. So maybe that'll be something we'll do in the future, DJ.
I'm with that. I like that idea. But you said, yeah, I had to take a step back and really like, oh snap, I need to get on that. Like, because
But
like
at least you guys did it though at a certain point in your life. I've never really done it, so I just went to a couple like lighting ceremonies, but like you actually was like at least your uncle and your pops and them, they took you to stuff where you guys are at least around it.
yeah. But that's why it was funny because I took a step back and was like, because now I'm thinking, like, why did we stop? Because I don't even remember. I just remember, like, we were going one point, and then at one point we just weren't. But I can't even, like, think of, like, why it stopped. It's just, like, I don't know. Like, eventually, just one day I found myself during winter break, I was always at basketball practice. Like, I don't know. And I'm, like, thinking about it. I'm just like, huh. Like, I don't know if those two ideas correlate, but I just think of, I'm just thinking, like, looking back. And I'm like, yeah, one day we was always doing that. And as a kid, and then, like, eventually just weren't. Like,
I got the answer for you because it was all about you, DJ, and your basketball. See, they put all the time into your hoop dreams. So Kwanzaa became less of the focus. You got it figured out.
still then I know kids who did, which was funny because secretly in my brain I was like, I'm just doing some fun. I'd see kids I was better than, and they were like, I'm going to the NBA, and I was like, oh, who's gonna tell them? Like, but
Yeah,
I think about that.
I'm sure they figured out in due time.
Well, yeah, eventually.
Yeah. Probably like the next week. Yeah. But man, let's chop it up, man, about some more Christmas stuff. So like for you, DJ, when you look back on some times, right? Like 'cause you probably have had a lot of Christmases where you've had like some gifts that like really like meant something to you.
Honestly, there's a good couple. I know like one of them you can just sum up to, because as being like a sports guy who's loved sports my entire life, I used to always ask for like jerseys, but it used to be like the t-shirt ones. Like I never asked for like the full-blown jerseys because I always knew I was gonna grow out of them. It's so, like as a kid, like every year I'd have, and my birthday's in January, so it'd be like they're almost like grouped together. But I used to always get like a bunch of like jerseys every year. But one gift I got for Christmas, and like looking back, it's like kind of almost like a bit ironic, but like I loved it then, so that's why. But I was a kid who watched ESPN at the age of like 7. Like I was a Stuart Scott guy. I love Stuart Scott. And I
You
remember
suck.
my parents bought me like this little like ESPN microphone that like it had like a little speaker thing attached where you could like interview people. 'Cause I used to always like I always like loved watching them and do that. And now looking back, it is so like ironic because here I am now, like basically in this space doing the thing that like I dreamed about at the age of 7.
Full
Which is
circle.
like, yeah, like very full circle. It's like when I think back, like that's a gift that like even though it was like so like such a simple gift, like it means a lot. I remember like me and my brother, we used to have a basketball hoop in the hallway, like on the little door, and we used to like play basketball in the little hallway. And I used to like after the game, like jokingly like post interview him, like post game, he'd be acting like he was like a certain athlete or whatever. He'd pretend to be like Kobe or Kevin Garnett or whoever at the time. And I remember like I'd be like pretending to interview him, like, and it's like kind of I and it's like you said full circle because now here I am like actually doing that. So like of all the gifts, like that's got to be like the most meaningful because like it really like sparked a dream that is now a reality.
So did he get off his anything is possible take when you were interviewing him?
Oh yeah, we did it all the time. To this day, I still yell that. I can't lie. It
That shit is legendary.
was. So, like, what gift you got though? Like, what was one that like was big on like your list, I guess, as a kid?
So I'm gonna kind of fast forward a little bit. Mine is gonna be something that it wasn't necessarily like an idol, but I'll tell you guys a quick story and bear with me. It was something I was actually thinking about the other day. When I was in college, like we dealt with like a lot of financial challenges. My mom, she was on workers' comp at the time, so anybody that knows about that. You're not making your full salary. She still had a mortgage to pay. And also on the way to college, my brother was also in high school and he went to private. You can only imagine the challenges that she had trying to put two kids through school, right? And both in private school. It's not cheap. And that's something that, there's a lot of people in this world right now that they have to make those type of decisions for their children. So it's not easy. So In my situation, I got locked out of my finals at the end of my first semester freshman year. There was a financial hold on my account. So if anybody knows, these colleges, they don't care about you.
Nope.
And they have no problems or no qualms with embarrassing the fuck out of you. So I was promptly embarrassed when I scanned in and like, you got a financial hold. You need to go see the registrar's office. And I'm sitting up here like, great. So that's embarrassing as fuck. And honestly, DJ, at that time, I thought I was gonna have to come home and I was gonna be able to continue on with school. Because, when I talked to my mom about it, she was just like, I'm sorry. She said, I was really trying to keep up with things, but she said, but I can't do it. So in that moment, I'm sitting here like honestly just like, man, I came all the way out here to go to school for, there'd be a roadblock. And at this point, it was too late in the semester for me to get a loan, because you have to sign up for those things at the beginning part of the semester. And the way that my plan was I had a partial scholarship. My mom said that she was going to contribute XYZ. So I didn't apply for loans. Well, when my grandmother found out about the issue, unbeknownst to me, she contacted the registrar's office. Because at this point, man, I started to go back to the dorm and I was like really thinking about my exit strategy and thinking I was about to be up out of there. But my grandmother actually, man, she paid the tuition balance for the rest of that school year. So not just that first semester, but the second semester as well. And not only did she pay for that, but she took out a loan to do that for me. To this day, that's like a gesture, audience, that I'm gonna always hold near and dear to me because DJ talks about this with his family. He talks about this with his grandparents. I was fortunate enough to be raised by people that they invested in me, right? My entire life, I had that. But in that moment, what she did, in that moment though, audience, she ensured that I had an opportunity to change my life forever. Earning my college degree was less about the degree itself, but it was more about what it signaled to the people in my family that never graduated from college. My grandmother, she had to stop attending school before she was 11 years old because she had to work. So education was something that was extremely important to her, and she prided herself on making sure that her grandkids and also their kids took advantage of any educational opportunities that were available to them. And she never missed our graduations. Like, I'm talking about always within her Sunday's best DJ. And those type of things, man, it really hit me, man. 'Cause I was thinking back on that, man. I was like, damn, that shit gets me emotional because I'm like, I owe so much to many people. And I really don't know where I would be without my grandmother and the financial sacrifice that she made at that time. Because who knows where I would be, man, if I'd have had to go back home. You never know where this would have ended up going for me. But I didn't have to think about that because my grandmother stepped up and she invested in me. And for me, that is meaningful because she gave the gift of opportunity. And that's why I grind so hard. Because I'll never let her investment and belief in me, I'll never let that shit fall by the wayside. And honestly, audience, that was just tough for me to even just kind of talk through without like just break it down because, man, that shit meant the world to me. And it's also why when I see potential in other people, well, I'll step up and try to help because I know what it means when someone looks at you and sees potential in you and gives you a shot. And I'll forever do that for the next person.
Man, you got me crying over here. Why you do me like that? Ah, oh, whew. That hit real close to home just now. You done got, ooh, hold on. I'm a hot mess, man. Because I mean, like I said, I talk with my grandparents, and I've not had a financial hole, but. But like my grandmas have gotten me and helped give me money for college and stuff, and they've done the same. So that hit close to home on that personal note. And especially when you said like the having people that invest in you. And like for me, like I was like the first kid in my family to like like of this generation anyway, to like really go off and like go to college. So like, to see that, like you said, like to have people like rooting for you, and like when I come back home and like get that support, it that like that whole story really just hit home. And then especially the last part you said, when you were like, if I give somebody a shot, like I feel like I'm part of that, because you've definitely given me a shot. So like that really just hit real close to home just now. You had me tearing up over here, man.
Dude, that's what you imagine when I was talking through it, bro. Shit, I was struggling, man,
That's why
because
I was just like, oh, I was like, oof. I don't know how you got through it. I was like, man, I'm hot mess over here. I'm sitting there like, oh, I was thinking like he's gonna kick it back to me, and I'm sitting there wiping tears off my face. I'm sitting there like, I was like, golly. But yeah, nah, man,
that
shout out to your
was,
grandmother though, because like
yeah, she was
that was
real.
big. Yeah,
She was
that was
real.
big. But like I respect it, because like you said, I find like similar parts of myself in that story. Like you said, like I grind because it's like I don't want their investment to go to waste, and like that is one of those driving factors, like for me definitely. And I always say to people, like having a why, like something that gets you out the bed every morning is important. And like the knowing, like knowing like somebody who put their time into you, like I'm not putting that to waste. Like
No, man, that's why for me, if I start something, I'm not gonna quit, bro. Cause dude, I look at the sacrifice that my mother made, dude, working two jobs to put me and my brother to private school. I went to private school my whole entire life, bro. Like, that's a privilege that I had. The hell I look like out here quitting. She didn't quit on me.
Right.
And my grandmother. She looked me dead in my eye and was like, I got you. Right? And people, we need to be more thoughtful. And just invest in each other, because it's not all about you. It's not all about what you're doing in this world. It's what are you doing to help others fulfill their dreams? You know, when they always talk about making America great again, I'm like, I'm not going to get into all that. But to me, what makes America great is when we're together, when we're building, when we're moving together. And I don't feel like people are like that anymore. Everybody's out for themselves. Everybody's out to, oh, I'm going to build this and I got this and I got that. Guess what? I got my own company. But what the hell does that look like if I see a young brother or sister next to me that's trying to get into this business that I don't fucking pull them up with me? The fuck I look like? But see, I had examples in front of me that's why I can't even take credit for these things, DJ, because this shit was instilled in me, bro. See, this is greater than me. And see, there's some people out here that they don't even realize what I'm even saying right now. See, I was put in this position to do this. It's nothing that I've done. I'm not special. All I'm doing now is finishing the job, and I will finish the job. See, when people put you in positions to do things, do it. Because she didn't have to do what she did for me. You hear so many stories, DJ, in the world about how people, they're like, man, this person right here that I grew up with, they were more talented than me. They were smarter than me. They were this and they were that, but they didn't make it. This happened. That happened. That didn't happen to me. And it didn't happen to me because there was people that believed in me more than I probably believed in myself at times. Because if somebody sits here and they take on a fixed income, just think about this, audience. You guys can probably relate because there's a lot of people that are struggling right now. But imagine you're on a fixed income and you have someone in your family, somebody in your life that has a 20-something thousand dollar balance due. Is the first reaction you're gonna have is say, let me go take out a loan to do this for them. You're probably not gonna do that. She did it and I never asked for it. That's the thing right there that will always stand with me. I never picked up the phone and said this and that. I'm over here just like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to a community college and figure it out. Because I knew, like, what the hell are we going to come up with $20,000? I didn't even know this shit was like this.
Right.
But now, see, when things are destined, when they're intended to happen the way that they happen, they're going to happen that way. I see, that's why DJ, I don't ever like trip off on stuff if adversity comes my way or if a challenge comes my way. Cause I'm just like, man, this shit's already been designed. I already know. See, our steps are already ordered, and you have to have faith. I'm not sitting here preaching to people about, your relationship with God and all that, because that's not even what I'm even talking about. Like, we all have a plan for our lives. See, some of us, we get in our own way. But for the few of us, or for the ones out here that can just like take the moment to really appreciate what life has to offer, for those out here that can appreciate and embrace adversity, that can appreciate the grind, can appreciate the struggle, but nothing worth having comes easy. Anything, DJ, that I've had to work towards, it feels so sweet, man. When I look at my college degree, when I look at the honors tassels, which when I graduated, I put those around my grandmother's neck. And that was an emotional moment for both of us. Because that was me letting her know, I wouldn't have done this without you. But here, this is your thanks for you investing in me. Now, there's people, DJ, out here that I'm sure that they've had people that have helped them. But the problem is, they don't take advantage of that help. They don't take advantage of that opportunity. Why would somebody help you if you're not willing to help yourself? So, I don't know. I probably got off into a tangent there, but that's, for me, that was the most meaningful gift. And like I said, that's something that nobody will ever be able to take away from me. And it's not something that I'll lose because I always will have it.
Honestly, I guess you can call it a tangent, but it was a meaningful tangent, if anything. 'Cause like that really hit me in a couple places too. I can't lie. 'Cause I know I've like we've mentioned it like partially in my journey, but like especially the thing when you talk about the balance, like I never forget. Sitting there beginning of senior year, and I remember talking to my parents because this is like right after my dad. I think we've talked about like what happened to him with diabetes and losing his toes and his leg. And this is like right after all that really kind of happened. I mean, they ended up going to take more eventually through senior year, but like at this point, it's already happened. And there was this moment where it was like, I remember sitting down with my parents and kind of like you said the community college thing, where I remember kind of saying like, "All right, look, I went to public school. I was like, I got good enough grades, and I know I could get into some college around here and figure it out. But I was like, I know where I want to go. I know I want to go to Howard. Like, I know what I knew what I wanted to do." I remember sitting there talking with them, and I was like, "Look, if it don't work, like it don't work. If it's not meant to happen, it won't happen." And I remember my parents be like, "No, don't you dare. Like, apply to Howard. We'll find a way." And especially when you sat there like that moment like you kind of had of like defeat. And I remember like getting in, but it was like, I don't know how in God's name we're gonna pull this off. And I never forget my mom sitting there trying to look at me like, I'll fly extra flights, but it didn't sit right with me. And I was like, but I don't like that. And I never forget my high school freshman coach. He's a court officer and has his own foundation. I remember him like right as this is January. I applied early, had a game where I'm about to run out to go warm up. Actually, I'm lying. I got concussed. I forget yet. Yeah, no, that's right. I was concussed. I got a concussion. So I was actually walking to still sit on the bench. I remember him grabbing me and was like, "Congrats! I heard the news. Like, very proud of you." He was like, "I'm gonna help you get there." And I was like, "Thanks, coach." Like in the back of my head, I was like, "Okay, yeah. Like, appreciate the sentiment." Like I didn't think anything of the statement. Remember, he went and told my dad, went and told my mom. Because, like, it's the thing where he's in the city. Like, my uncle who actually worked at the Boys and Girls Club, which is why I was a club kid, and he had my coach as a kid. So, like, in his mind, he was like, "I'm gonna pay it back. Like, our families have helped each other generations." And I'm like, yeah, like, nice sentiment, whatever. I never forget, like, a couple months later, he ended up sending all of us a text and was like, "Start a GoFundMe." And we're like, "Huh?" And he's like, "Start a GoFundMe and, like, just trust me on this." And we did. My dad shared a story and he starts sharing it everywhere. And there's a thing where I like when you said, like, in that moment of like, what's gonna happen? I never forget at his little event. He always has one in the summer. It's like a basketball tournament, like a Stop the Violence event. And I never forget him bringing me up there, like, in front of all these kids and explaining, like, my story and what I've done and was like, help this kid. And basically, the first 2 years of school, I didn't have to pay for it because of that GoFundMe. And like, so when you talked about that, I was like, like it really hit close to home. 'Cause I've kind of like sort of like, you know, half mentioned the story to you. But also part of why like that GoFundMe like means so much to me is because I my other place I work at outside of here, like, you know, it's hard to like do stuff as a nonprofit. But part of that money actually helped me get to the NFL Combine. And like you said, everything happens for a reason. 'Cause guess who I met at that first NFL Combine?
Yes, sir.
And so like looking back at like these last couple of years, like I said, like professionally how much has happened, it really all just kind of comes down to that one moment. And like you said, like getting able to appreciate somebody, because I said that because the other day I went to like a high school basketball game and I saw him. And every time I see him, I make sure to give him like the biggest hug. 'Cause he's always like, "Oh, I see you out there grinding. I'm so proud of you." And it's like you said, it means a lot when someone kind of invests more in you than you'd invest in yourself almost. 'Cause it's like where I am today is not the same without, but I'm a man, Coach Woody. And it just like means a lot. So like you telling that story, it really like hit home. It was one of those things where I'm just like, man, like in that moment, part of me like just started reflecting on like my own journey and like how you said, like some people just really just caring for someone else can go a long way. 'Cause like I would not be sitting here right now talking to you, audience. Because I would have never met Prez if not for my freshman coach.
See, that's the right there. See, because you mentioned that to me in passing.
Yeah, I remember like going in depth though. I realized that in the
No.
moment and I was like, I've always been passing, but like, yeah, but like that's real, like that's how it happened. I like sometimes never forget it because I'm just like, man, like he really could have chose like all types of kids in the city and he chose me. And it's
Well,
just
that's
like,
what do I say? Hey, shit's already is already ordered, man. You know what you need to do.
Right. Because once again, I can even talk about us meeting at the combine. I could have sat anywhere in that stadium and I just happened to sit next to you and was like, hi, like just on some just normal, like you said, like, and it's so wild sometimes when you think about that, like,
And on top of that too, you gotta think about it, those events. How many people are you just casually saying hi to and introducing yourself to? There's hundreds to thousands of people that you'll pass pleasantries with, right? And most of the time, DJ knows this about me, audience, you guys have learned this about me. I could do with it or do without it. But you know, but it was something different about that interaction. And obviously, you know, we've talked about that. We don't have to get into that part. But what the point I'm saying is that the people that don't believe that things happen for a reason, I'm sorry that you've never had a life-changing experience, because I've had so many in my life, and I am forever thankful again for the gift from my grandmother, because like that's the gift that keeps giving. Like DJ's talking about how it's helped him, right? And then when I think about like something that happened most recently, because you know, I'm sure DJ, you'll probably talk about like maybe a best gift that you've given or some meaningful gift that you've given to someone. Recently, we were at our toy drive. We do a toy drive every year for Chicago State of Mind, and we do it with an organization here called ChildLink. And so we were at the event this year, and you know, I always love, man, just like seeing all the toys lined up and the kids come and they sit in front of the toy that they get, and you know, they open it up and just seeing that just unbridled like enthusiasm and happiness. Like to me, that's really what the holidays are for, what they're about. But this one kid, DJ, she opened up her gift and she didn't seem necessarily moved by it and really kind of looked like she didn't really care about the gift. So I kind of was like sitting there peeping at it. I wondered to myself, I'm like, the hell's wrong with this damn kid? Like, what's her problem?
No,
You know what I mean? Because you know how I am, DJ. I'm
low
like,
key. No, but low key, if you see a kid just kind of sitting there mad neutral, you'd kind of be like, you good? Like,
yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? Ungrateful. And then, so then I was on my old man shit for a second. I'm like, man, these kids are fucking different, man. They ungrateful as fuck. You know, that's I'm getting ready to like go into my whole like little spiel. But then a little small little tinge of me was like, I wonder if something else is going on here, right? So I like dip over and I like talk to the case managers, 'cause they case managers, they all, you know, come there too. And I was like, hey, what's the story with this kid? Like, I'm like, she didn't seem to be very like happy about her gift. I'm like, has she got something going on? And the case manager was like, hey, you know, we normally don't really share this type of stuff, but she's like, but you know, you've been with us for 5 years. So she's like, I'll just tell you, she said, She actually lost her mother recently. And I was like, fuck. I was like, no wonder.
Right.
So I went up to her, introduced myself to her, and I just said, hey, pleasure meeting you. I said, what do you have here? And I was trying to get her to talk to me about the gift that she got. And it was like one of those, you ever see like the little, the V-logs? Like it's like a electronic kind of like device. And it's like, yeah. Okay. So it was one of those. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, well, what does it do? And she's like kind of talking through me and this and that. I was like, are you happy with it? And she was like, well, yeah, it was nice. But she said, but I asked Santa for a tablet. And so I was like, oh. And she was like, yeah. She said, it was like actually number one on my list. She said, this was kind of like fifth on my list. And I was like, damn, she like hit me with it was fifth on her list. I was like, okay. I was like, well, I said, I feel like this V-Log. I said, I never had a toy like this when I was your age. I said, what about the tablet? And she said, I'll be able to write poems for my mother. She passed. DJ, goddamn. I was sitting over here like, I had to walk away. I was like, that shit hit me so fucking hard. I said, I'll be right back.
That just hit me just now. Oh, because for me, like you said, like it felt a little, it started off a little, almost like a little snot nose, like it was number one. It's, then you get why it's number one, and you're like, ah, oh, okay. Oh,
So
my
then
bad.
I shoot a text to Oscar. He's the intern DJ. He was emailing you earlier. And I'm like, hey, Oscar, man. I said, bro, I ask you to do so much, man. I said, but I need a favor. I said, I know you coming up here. I said, can you stop at Target on your way? I said, I need you to pick up a tablet. He was like, oh, he said, did somebody lose one of the tablets? He's like, no. I said, long story. I said, here. I Venmo'd him like $200. I was like, just pick up something that's, decent and, figure it out. So Oscar was like, oh, he said there's like a sale over here. He's like, I could get this, I'm like, he getting into all the dimensions of it. I was like, bro, if it's an iPad, get whatever, bring it.
Like he doesn't know, but it's like just get a tablet.
Just get a tablet, fam. So but he comes over with the iPad. And I was like, you gonna get this shit wrapped? Yeah, so now I'm going in a little bit.
Hey, in his
I
defense, he didn't know. He didn't know. In
He
his
didn't
defense,
know.
he ain't
He
know.
didn't. He ain't know. But you know me, DJ. So I'm sitting up here like, yeah. So I went and found like a one of the little gift bags that like somebody had like tossed to the side. And so I was like, all right. I said, take that over to that little girl and tell her that the Santa said that he was sorry
The mishap.
for not giving her number one item on her list. And so I'm sitting over there in the corner and I'm seeing this girl and like, bruh, the look on her face, man. Boy, boy, boy. That shit made my day. Cause I honestly, bro, I haven't necessarily been in all the best Christmas spirit around here. I haven't had any of that. But seeing that joy on her face, bro, it something triggered me, man. And I've been like in such a really good mood this week. And I'm not telling this story, audience, to like try to look cool or whatever, because I do way more than that shit behind closed doors, trust. But we never know what anybody's going through, right? And what they have gone through. And I'm telling this story because, and I need to do a better job of this, but you should never assume the worst of people because there could be a reason why they reacted the way that they are to something, and we just don't know.
That is dope. That man, I know you say you're not here for kudos, but kudos to you for that. That's big. That's amazing. Yeah, nah, my best gift is actually was free because I don't got a whole bunch of money on me as a college student.
But
But
hold on now. The best gifts are that. So.
fair. I think of the best gift, and it's also kind of the funniest gift too for me was, like I said, because like working at the club, and I know like we've talked about in the past, the spot I was at in DC, I'm not at no more. But back here at home, actually, over winter break, coming back, working with the kids, and they have their like same thing, the Christmas gifts and the list, and they get in what they can, and and people, some people like donate and buy the stuff for that certain kid or whatever. And every time I come back, it's always like fun to come back and help out and whatnot. And so the funniest gift I was able to, in a sense, give one of the kids was every year they have someone dress up as Santa. And for a long time it was this guy who like worked in HR. We played fantasy football together. He was a cool dude. But then he left. So the guy that has been doing it recently is the boxing coach And it's also kind of cool because like the other guy was white, but this dude's a brother, so it's kind of cool to have Black Santa. Like in a way, I'm like, this is kind of cool. Like I wish I had that as a kid. But what was funny for me last year when I came back is they were like, we need you to get do us a favor, and I'm like, all right, like what do y'all need? Like, and I was thinking to myself, you were like, oh, I'm gonna have to buy somebody Christmas list. It's $25, like or something. Like I thought they were gonna have me like buy something. I was like, all right, like I'm in, like, and they were like, do you mind dressing up as Rudolph to come in with Santa? And I was like, what? And they showed me, and I have this bo like my boss there, the lady that works there, because she's known me since I was a kid, because I was a club kid. She knows my uncle, like she knows my whole family. Like I said, like there's people that live in this city that go back with me generations because of my uncle and my grandmother being a school teacher. And she shows me the thing in the corner, and she's like, you see that costume? And I was like, you're kidding, right? And they're like, no. And I was like, all right, all right. And so it was, here's the fun part was then they're like, you don't have to do nothing if you just walk in it, like whatever. And I was like, nah, if I'm gonna do it, I gotta commit. Like, y'all, you can't half it and walk on twos. So like, no. So then the fun part was the gift of then practicing my bear crawl, basically, and like practicing walking on all fours just for this little like 15 seconds to crawl by these kids and then plant myself next to Santa as he's giving out gifts. The reason why it's the best gift to me was in the moment, because we played trick on the kids. Because I remember like the other day playing with them, I remember I messed up my shoulder a little bit. So I jokingly was like, I'm going for an appointment. And I was like, all right, bye guys. And I like head out the door like 20 minutes before it's time. And they're all thinking I'm gone. Man, the look on those kids' faces, because it wasn't a good costume. You could see my face. It was not, I'll be honest, this is a little cheap costume. My whole face, they had a little nose, a strap on my face. Like you could tell it was me. To this day, I still act like I don't know what the kids are talking about, which is the funniest arm running joke I also now have with these children whenever I go visit. But I then walked on all fours in the room, and I just watched all these kids stare at me and just go, DJ? Like there was no, I didn't fool not one kid. I figured someone was gonna be fooled. Nope, not at all. And then the worst part was like the older kids in the back, and that'll kind of mess with me. Cause like, can we go pet them? Oh my gosh, one of the
Oh,
kids walked up on me,
wow.
yo, they whispered in my ear like how much they pay you for this. I feel these kids are so, like they had me crying. But then like for the 12-year-olds like that, then there's like the 5-year-olds, like one of them was like, DJ, is that you? Like whispering, like, I was like, yo, this is so funny. Like I was like genuinely, like I think about that and I was like, that's maybe like the best. Cause like I remember, there's pictures, like I have to send you a picture later.
Please.
Yo. When I tell you, it is like the funniest thing ever. Cause I'm just like, who? Like, I was like, yo, who in their right mind? Like, let me do this. Like, and it
I love that
was
they was like, DJ, is that you?
like, they was like, DJ, is that? Like, yo, they was whispering, like, DJ, is that you? Like, they was, yo, cackling. Cause I was like, they really, oh man, like,
Listen,
it
I've been crying all episode. This is making me cry too. This
was. No,
is
like,
so good.
it was so funny. Cause I was just like, yo, like, and then the best, I tell you, the best part had to be after I walk out on all fours, after they give all the gifts, I go downstairs, like for like wait a bit, and then I come back and I come walking in. I'm like, what's up, guys? How was the party? And they're all like, you're a reindeer. And I'm like, what? I was at the doctor's. What do you mean, reindeer? The worst part was that little nose they strapped on was so tight, there was lines below my eyes that you could tell. So now I had
Oh,
to make an excuse.
wow.
So now I'm sitting there like, oh no, I gotta car hit myself at the car door. Like I was making excuses, trying to, they was not buying it. To this, yo, when I went back to work during the summer, like in between covering games for y'all, when I tell you, they still were like, remember that time you was a reindeer? I was like, what? I keep telling y'all, I was at the doctor's. Like, is this an already joke now? But like, it's the gift that keeps on giving, because now it's an already joke of me trying to claim these kids I was not a reindeer. Because another part, the best quote I had from one of the 5-year-olds had to be, they were like, well, either you're a reindeer or you look like a reindeer. And I was like, well, that feels kind of rude. Like, I don't know how to
Damn.
respond to that. I was like, what you trying to say? Like, it was just so funny because I was like, it's moments like those where I'm like, see, those kids are going to remember that. And I'm going to remember
Oh,
that
yeah.
too. And it's just such like,
And
I was
so
like,
do
that's
I.
the, yeah. I was like, I have, every once in a while I try to like buy my like family stuff, like in the little times I've worked, and like a couple times I bought my mom a gift or like my dad, but I'm like, that one was just too, it was too good. Cause I was like, just cause if not for nothing else, just the smile on their faces and like watching them giggle as they could tell it was me. Like that, I'm like, even though it cost nothing, I'm like, that was priceless. Like, cause that was too funny.
And what did I say, man? The best gifts are the ones that will cost a thing, bro. Because to me, you did that shit from the heart, and That shit just cracks me up just because I'm picturing you doing that shit, right? Because you're the type of guy, like if somebody's like, hey, can you do this for us? You're like, sure, I got you. And there's a lot of people that they take themselves so seriously out here that they don't realize they're like, hey, this is bigger than me. And in that moment, DJ, like I'm just imagining you do that. And I need to see that picture because I'm crying still, just thinking about you crawling across that stage in that damn reindeer costume. Because I bet
Yo.
that shit was low budget as hell, too.
Oh, yo, I'm telling you, like, it was when I tell you can see my face, like, even when I putting it on, looked in the mirror and was like, this is not, who am I fooling with this? But I was like, nope, commit.
Oh
I was like, commit
shit.
to the part. I tell you, that was the best part. I walked it, I all fours. I was practicing like all morning. I remember my mom walked by in the morning, was like, what are you doing? And I was like, look, it's gonna, I know, let me explain. I had to explain to them. So then they're
You're like, I
cackling,
look
like,
crazy as hell right now,
I know,
huh?
because I'm just in the, I'm in the living room just walking on all fours. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, time out. Just give me like 3 minutes. And then I explained and they were like, okay, that's nice. And she was like, it's still a little weird, but okay. Like I respect the commitment to the bit. Cause that's the other part too, is everybody, all the staff that were in there were like, honestly, I respect the fact that you committed to the bit. Like you didn't break, you didn't laugh. Like you stayed committed. I was like, hey, for the kids, I was like, I gotta commit to it. But man, it was a hoot. I tell you, it was so low budget. My dreads was hanging out the back. Like, it was bad.
Oh, hell no, this thing getting worse.
The little hoodie did not get over all my hair. Dreads were in the back. Yeah.
I gotta see that picture stat.
Yo, it was rough.
Oh,
I was like, yeah. Because I know the picture I have, because it's the one where I'm like, I'm next to Santa, just like kneeling. And you can see it. And like, even from there, you could like, yeah, that's DJ. Like, that.
oh, God,
Yeah,
man.
it was like, of all the things I've done for the like, for the, those kids, like that's the funniest and like the best thing I've ever had to do. I can't lie,
Bro,
like that's up there. I mean, one of the field trips we was, I remember on the, I went to like an amusement park and I jokingly like screamed to pretend I was scared because now it made the kids feel like okay if they were scared to go on the rides. Like that was, it's another fun time because I had like this obnoxious, like clearly like not real scream, but like that Rudolph one, that's number one because I was like, yeah, like I think about that and that photo pops up sometimes and I just giggle because I'm just like, I really did that too. Like,
that's fucking awesome, man. But tis the season.
right.
DJ, y'all gonna hit him with that curtain call, bro.
All right, everybody, this curtain call goes out to Armando Ambriz. Ambriz has lived in Chicago for more than 30 years and is working in the medical field since 2000. He serves Chicago's Little Village area and is known for his compassionate care for individuals and their family. In a community that is impacted by gun violence, Ambriz strives to make sure anyone that he comes in contact with knows he cares and treats everyone like he would want his friends or family to be treated. Honestly, given this time of year, any types of like helping and giving back is always nice to hear. So shout out to Ambriz, Mr. Ambriz, honestly. Like, good on him. Medical field, that's a hard field to be in too. So kudos to him, man.
No, and I salute that. Hey, thanks for that curtain call, DJ. I mean, that's a tough area here in Chicago where there's a lot of tragedy that happens. So, man, just having someone like that that treats people in those manners. And then you and I, we had our last episode, we talked about some of the challenges within the healthcare field. So it's really cool to have people like to understand Breeze. Audience, as always, we appreciate you guys and your continued support and rocking with this show. Hey man, we had a really, really, really strong 2024 with you guys, and DJ and I cannot wait to rock it out with you guys in 2025. As we always say, without you, we wouldn't be. We're pulling back the curtain podcast. Thanks for listening.